Good. Amen. So I've been talking to you about the kaleidoscope of prayer, and Pastor Jerry's talking about prayer and his certain aspects of prayer. So we're both talking about prayer, because it's such a beautiful thing to be able to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what I mean by the kaleidoscope is the multifaceted color device that we call a kaleidoscope. You know, when you see the picture on the overhead behind me there, there's just so many nuances, so many different shades, so many different colors. And prayer has a lot of dimensions. I struggled in my early Christian life about praying. I've talked to you about it before, but maybe somebody's watching this message for the first time. But I would pray for things I needed, and then I'd run out of things to pray for. And I'd only prayed like 5 minutes, and I'm like, okay. Well, there's ways to add to your prayer. There's different approaches to prayer, And I may do a sermon on the posture of prayer. Sometimes getting on your knees and praying. Sometimes just sitting at your desk and praying. Sometimes laying in your bed and praying. Looking in the Bible at different postures of praying. There's not a right way to pray. There's not a wrong way to pray. There's many ways to pray. Amen. Times when you can't get on your knees. Maybe times that in your bed you just are laying there. You can talk to the Lord. Sometimes you can sit at the table and bow your head. I've done it all. But each one is unique. Each one is special. Each one is powerful. So we've talked about, in my part of the series, one of the things about prayer is praying for our country. And so we've done that. And let me add to just what I said a while ago when I first started. Be at peace. Amen. Even if it doesn't go the way that we think it should go, it's going to go the way God is going to work regardless. Amen. And we may have, we just know what our battle plan is. But praying for our nation is a prayer. I talked about going all in, where Paul said, strive together with me in your prayers. And we talked about that sometimes prayer has to be intense. Sometimes you got to roll up your sleeves, and sometimes you got to find a place where nobody's around and just call out to God, cry out to God vocally and verbally. Sometimes you can't do that. You need to whisper a prayer because there's others around. But that's just as powerful, whispering prayer. And it's not the volume of your prayer that makes a difference. It's the heart that makes the difference. But we talked about agonizing in prayer. We talked about all those names in the book of Romans and how all those names were recorded. And we don't think a lot about those names, but they made a difference in their prayers. And you can make a difference in your prayers. We've been talking about the hour that changes the world, praying for an hour, Dick Eastman. But tonight, I want to talk to you about something unique, and actually something I've never preached on before, and something I've never heard a full sermon on, and that is why keep a prayer journal. I want you to turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why keep a prayer journal? So one of the nuances, one of the dimensions of prayer, you can enter into it when you have a prayer journal. So stand with me and read Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then I'll let you sit down for the next hour. How about that? Fair enough? Well, it's Wednesday night. What page is Habakkuk on? It's on a white page with black letters. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's toward the end of the Old Testament. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me, and what shall I answer, or what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, I love that, and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it's going to talk and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So, Father, tonight we thank you for the kaleidoscope of prayer. We thank you for the different aspects, avenues, nuances. We thank you for the different dimensions. And this is one of the great dimensions of prayer, is when we write the vision. And I ask you tonight to anoint your servant to preach the word. And we thank you, God, that we're privileged to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we'll give you praise. May I decrease. May you increase. Let your word go forth tonight in this room and beyond over live streaming and recording. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored of God. Now, I don't have time. I would love to do a study on Habakkuk chapter 2 and tell you why the prophet said this. That's a fascinating story about what was going on. But I really don't have time to get into the backdrop and the context of this passage. But just suffice it to say that this passage tonight is perhaps one of the greatest passages on faith, where it says the just shall live by faith. It's one of the greatest passages you can read about vision, having a forward thinking, and also a great passage on persistence. He said, I'm just going to stay here until things happen. I'm not going to move from my faith and move from my belief that God is up to something. So you have three great things here. You have faith, you have vision, you have persistence when we read this passage. But this passage also deals with prayer. Look again at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me. This is actually a passage not just of persistence, not just of vision, not just of faith, but this is one of the great verses on prayer. This is a man that is determined. And what is he determined in? He's determined in prayer. He's determined to seek God. He said, I'm going to keep on. He's going to, like in the Bible, it says, ask and you shall receive, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened to you. In the Greek, it reads this way, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, Brother Schuyler. Knock and keep on knocking. I will stay upon my watch. I will stay. I will pray until something happens. And we see that. And I don't believe this passage directly teaches us to do a prayer journal, but I do believe it indirectly teaches us about the value of a prayer journal. Because notice verse 2 again, and the Lord answered. I like that. Go back to verse 1, Sister Darnell. I'm sorry about that. But it says, I will watch to see what he will say to me. This man is coming to God saying, I know God's got an answer. Turn around and tell somebody he's got an answer for America. Amen. He's going to speak to us. Sometimes, I'm not that type of Christian where I hear voices or where God talks to me. I hear voices and God talks to me. Now, I might not hear an audible voice. I think maybe once I have, but most of the time, you know, when God is, and I know he will speak to us. And then he says, look at verse 2, and the Lord answered me. There it is. The Lord answered me. Oh, praise God. Thank God for the answers. Thank God that he will answer. And I believe God answers when we expect an answer. Amen. He said, what? Write the vision. Make it plain upon the tablets or the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now, really, to capture the essence of what it's saying here, really, it's not a prayer journal. That's what I'm saying. This is not directly teaching you to do a prayer journal, but I think indirectly it implies it. But really what this passage is saying here is get a billboard. You know what a billboard is, don't you? You pass by and you see a Farm Bureau, or you pass by, you see Camel cigarettes or whatever. You pass by and you see billboards. And so God is saying to the prophet, what I'm doing is so big that I want you to put it in a big billboard letters that when people, even if they're running by and not even paying attention, can see the message. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you that God gets glory and honor when his promises and His presence and His practices and His word and His work. We should write it down, and maybe not on a billboard, but I certainly believe from example, from emphasis, and from experience that one of the great aspects of our prayer life is the prayer journal. You see, in other words, one of the most important aspects of prayer is recording your sacred moments with God. Your sacred moments with God. Now, why a prayer journal? Why a prayer journal? When we think of journaling, now let's talk about that term journaling. Perhaps we think of something that an intellectual will do. Perhaps we think of what good is it? Or is it really necessary? Or is it really beneficial? Well, let's put it to you this way. And, you know, as far as writing it down, recording it, have you thought about the fact, what if the greatest things that we take for granted, that we need, that are important in history and destiny, what if they were never written down? Can you imagine? Last year, Darnell and I, for our 25th wedding anniversary, we first of all skimped and scoured and saved up enough to be able to enjoy. And we got the cheapest hotel, amen, and we ate at McDonald's a lot. When you go to Washington, D.C., I find out 90% of the stuff up there you don't have to pay to get in. You know, most places you gotta go pay $50 a person, like Pigeon Forge, which I will not go back again for a long time. Come on. But I went to the National Archives. Darnell and I went to National Archives of Washington, D.C., and I saw the literal written Declaration of Independence. Oh, listen, not only that, but they had the Magna Carta in there. A lot of people don't realize what the Magna Carta in England, where the king ruled England and the people said, no, the king doesn't rule. We rule the king. And that's when they formed Parliament and they signed a document with the king that he will serve as leader at the consent of the Parliament. And so that's really what, that was England, you know, back in the year 1066, I believe. I could be wrong on that. I know that was the invasion, but it was sometime after that. But the Magna Carta, they had the original Magna Carta in this thing. You're talking about a document that's 800 years old, and it was in front of my face because they had it in this vault, and you literally could look at the original written document. Now, what about your birth certificate? Ain't that a great thing that it was written down that you were born? What about your marriage certificate? Oh, listen, the day I got married, you know, we filled out the paperwork, or we'd actually did it before, and the preacher signed it. And what about your mortgage, you know, that you signed? What about your car payment? Some of the greatest things in life are on ink and paper, are written down, notes, mortgages, certificates, documents. And let me tell you, meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I promise you that's important. Amen. And when that king begins to speak to you and when he begins to minister to you, I think it's a very good thing. And you don't have to do it. And maybe you can do it in other ways. But it is not very bad for you to just write it down. Write down the answers to prayer. Write down the vision. Write down the promises. Have a prayer journal. It's important. And God is going to show you that when you write it down and when you remember it, one day you'll look back and say, look what the Lord has done. Can you give Him a hand of praise for that tonight? Amen. Number one, why should we journal our prayers? Because, point number one, why should we journal our prayers? Point number one of point one, or letter A, is because of our friendship with God. Somebody say friendship. So why should I journal, have a prayer journal? Because when I pray, I'm meeting with a friend. I am a friend of God, or God is my friend. God told Abraham, He is my friend. And you see, prayer is really, listen to me tonight, prayer is a two-way conversation. Now, I've told you before, and just go home and read 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'll never forget reading it. But God spoke to David. David spoke to God. It's a beautiful, God told David, and I don't have it up here. It's way too long. But, God told David, I took you from being a shepherd and made you over my people. And if that wasn't enough, I'd give you even more. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. And David talks to God and said, "Who am I that you should choose me and my house? Your gentleness has made me great." And I was reading that. In fact, I was in that office back there when I was pastoring here at Living Waters. It was in the office back there. And I was at my desk and I counted the words of that chapter. And I found out that God spoke 367 words and David spoke 364 words. That just liberated my mind. That just brought something to mind. That impressed upon me that as much as I talk to God, I promise you, God wants to talk back to you. Now, that doesn't mean every time I pray that I get 400 words from God. Now, that doesn't mean that. But the concept is that we are friends. And Brother Ray and I are great friends. And we see each other. He's going to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit. When I see some of you at Best Buy, you're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit. In no relationship is it healthy for one person to do all the talking. It's not healthy that way. If you're married and you do all the talking and you say, "Well, my wife, she listens," or "My husband, he listens." No, you ain't giving them a chance to say anything. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, so that you would listen twice as much as you were taught. So don't just dominate the conversation. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I've done and what I thought. I need to hear maybe something from what's going on in your life. Amen. I need to know what struggles you're facing, what victories you've had. And a good friend is a good listener. Amen. Sometimes the best thing you can do is zip it and just let that person talk and pour their heart out. And sometimes I've learned this as a pastor. People would come in and they would pour their heart out to me. And when they got to a stopping point, then I would just preach to them a little bit. But I found out they didn't want preaching. They were just satisfied to pour their heart out. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just to know somebody's listening to you. And friend, let me tell you, when God loves you so much, He will let you talk and let you talk and let you talk. But why don't you just sit back and zip it a little bit? And I promise you, most of the time when you have that attitude and that posture, God's going to whisper or remind you or speak to you. He wants to talk to you. I am a friend of God, and God is my friend, and He wants to talk to me, and I want to hear what my friend has to say. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Psalm 85 and 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak. I will hear what God. In other words, I'm going to listen to what God is saying. You see, we need to have a prayer journal because of our friendship with God. He wants to talk to us. Let's let Him do it. But not only that, because we forget. Say the word forget. Because of our friendship and because we forget. Oh, we forget, don't we? My wife is so negative, somebody said. My wife is so negative. I remembered the car seat, the stroller, and the diaper bag. Yet all she can talk about is how I forgot the baby. Somebody said my wife doesn't get hysterical. She gets historical. One night, a 96-year-old draws a bath, puts his foot in, and pauses. He yells down the stairs, "Was I getting in it, the bath, or getting out?" His 94-year-old friend yells, "I don't know. I'll come up and see." He starts up the stairs and pauses, and then he yells, "Was I going up the stairs or coming down?" The 92-year-old was sitting in the kitchen table having coffee, listening to his brothers. He shakes his head and says, "I sure hope I never get that forgetful." He knocks on wood for good luck. And then he yells, "I'll come up and help both of you as soon as I can see who's at the door." I mean, it's just human nature. It's just our life as we get older. our memory kind of goes, you know, diminishing returns. Now I'm not claiming bad memory. I'm believing God's going to give me good memory all the way up to 90 and 100. Amen. That's what we're praying for. Some things I'd like to forget. Amen. But we do easily forget. We forget. And God is constantly putting reminders. Go through the Bible, the rainbow and the cloud. What was that supposed to do? It was to remind you of his covenant and his mercy. And it's very sad that that certain group of people have taken that as their symbol when they don't even realize that that symbol is actually a symbol of judgment as well. What brought on the rainbow was judgment against gross sin. And so please understand that for us who are believers, we see the rainbow. It is a reminder. When they come through the Jordan, what did they do? They put the memorial stones. Amen. So that they would ever be reminded that God brought them through from Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. We are just forgetful. Think about the ark. You know, when God set up the ark and the temple, he said inside the ark of the covenant, there's to be a couple things I want you to leave in there as a reminder. I want you to leave a little bit of manna in there. So they gathered some manna and put it in the ark. And also there was another item in there. Does anybody remember what the second item was? Aaron's rod that budded. Well, what was Aaron's rod that budded? So Aaron and some people got into some controversy. And they thought, well, we can be priests. You're nobody special. And really, Aaron was nobody special. Other than this, that God chose him to be the high priest. And so God said, all you people that want to be priests, throw your rods down. And you know what? A rod is like a dead stick, right? Cut off, dead stick. And so everybody threw their rods down, but Aaron's rod began to bud with life and leaves and vitality. And the rest of them just dried up. I always want to preach a sermon on Aaron's rod that budded, because that tells me that when God gets in a ministry, it can grow quick. It doesn't take 15 or 20 years. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes a while. But that life can work immediately. And things that seem dead now can bud overnight. Amen. And God put his stamp of approval. And God said, I want you to put that in the ark as a reminder that I can give life out of dead things. As a reminder that I only honor those who I call. And for you to find your place in the body of Christ. If God hadn't called you to be the high priest, then be the low priest. Amen. If God's called you to be the low priest, I promise you, serve him with joy. Because you might not want to be the high priest, because it might have things in there that might not be what you think it is. So God knows what you need, and God knows where you are. And we need to be reminded of his work. We need to be reminded. Forget his blessings. Deuteronomy 6 and 12 says, even beware lest you forget. And how many times have we seen that? When God would take somebody whose life was ruined, they come to the altar, they get saved, and then God begins to bless them on their job, and then they begin to make a lot of money. And then guess what they begin to do? They begin to lay out of church, and they begin to forget, and they don't really need the prayer meeting. They don't really need to do all of that. No, we're creatures prone to forget, and writing down things in a prayer journal, writing them down can remind us of what God is speaking to us and what God has said to us. And we are blessed when we see that and are reminded. Amen? There's nothing like going through my prayer journal and remembering things the Lord spoke to me that I had forgotten about. And then, why have a prayer journal? Because God is our friend. Because we're easy to forget. And because it fuels, somebody say the word fuels, I like to alliterate, friendship, forget, fuels, it fuels our faith, and it quenches our doubts. Oh, praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. You know, First Samuel chapter 3. Somebody said the word anticipation. When I go to prayer and I've got my pen out and my journal out and a blank sheet of paper there, and I'm going to tell you ways to journal a little bit later. But when I've got that pen and paper out and I go to prayer, you know what that tells God? That tells God that he's anticipating something. He's coming to the table and he's ready to hear something. First Samuel 3:10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, say that with me, for what? Oh, that's faith. When we have a prayer journal, it fuels our faith. It brings anticipation. We anticipate that God will speak to us. And we anticipate that God will answer our prayers. I'm going to hear from the Lord. I'm going to write it down. And that is going to be a record that I can go back to and anticipate that he is going to do what he said he's going to do. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. I'm telling you, he's going to do what he said he's going to do, when he said he's going to do it. And you might as well write it down, make it plain, put an exclamation point, circle it. Because, you know, sometimes it does take time. Sometimes it does take time. I remember in 2000 and, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere around in there, the Lord gave me a passage of scripture one morning, and he said that the Lord does establish equity. That was in 06, 07. I can't remember. I'd have to pull out my book there. And I remember when I read that passage, I wrote it down. Now, I can't find where I wrote it down at, but I remember writing it down. See, that's going to be part of something in just a moment. So remember what I just said. But I remembered it up here. I did like Pastor Jerry. I logged it in my mind, and it was written down in my spirit. And I also had written it down on paper. And I thought some things were going to happen. Because sometimes when God tells you something, you think it's going to happen next week. You think it's going to happen next year. Folks, 2006 is how long? 14 years. And some things in the last few months have been stirring in my life, and some things have been happening, and I remember when Adam Fulgen came just a couple Sundays ago, he read Psalm 138, and I didn't have Psalm, because, you know, I was reading overhead, and he read all those scriptures, and then the last scripture, the Lord establishes equity, and when he read that, it's like, now's the time. Now's the time. Get ready to happen. And see, Adam didn't preach on that. Adam didn't say a thing about it. He preached on the other parts of that psalm. But when they flashed that scripture up there, I remembered. And so a prayer journal will fuel your faith and will quench your doubts. Because look again at Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Are y'all with me tonight? Is this all right? Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, now I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what God says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so the runner can carry the correct message to others. The vision, verse 3, is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. Man, I tell you what, you can go back to flip through your prayer journal, through your notes, through your times with God, and you'll see this, you'll see that, and I'll tell you, your faith will get fueled, and your doubts will get quenched, and when you go through some hard, difficult times, you can say, wait a minute, I've got a stone of memorial. I've got a rod that's still budding, praise God. I've got some manna in the pot, glory to God. I'm going to stay on my watchtower, and I'm just going, I don't know how, and I don't know when, but he'll do it again. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Starve your doubts And we're not talking about what a televangelist says. We're not talking about what some book writer or author says. We're talking about direct moments, sacred moments between you. Listen, I thank God for David Jeremiah. And I do read good Christian books. And I watch good Christian movies. And I love our pastor and the words that he preaches. And I'm just telling you, friend, there's something sacred when I get before the King of Kings and I can hear from the Lord and God begins to work. And it's wonderful to write those things and record those things. And not only anticipation, but glorification. Because there are some things in my prayer journal that have yet to come to pass. But there are some things in my prayer journal that I've checked off. Praise God. People I've prayed for, check, they're healed. People, things that I've needed, check, God has provided. Listen, let me tell you something. Glorification. You can glorify God. You can have a testimony. Hey, God did this for me. He kind of laid it on my heart in 2012, but now it's 2020, and check mark, it happened. Praise God. We serve a faithful God, and we can give Him glory and honor because He will keep His He is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He spoken, and shall He not do it? Hath He said, and shall He not fulfill it? I wish somebody would get excited and anticipate and give Him glory that He's going to do the things He said. When that child gets saved, you can just mark it out. Praise God, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Son, you say amen. So why do a prayer journal? Now see, I preached the whole time on point one. But the other two are short. Why have a prayer journal? Because God is our friend. And He wants to talk to us, a two-way conversation. Because we forget. And because it fuels our faith and quenches our doubts. We have anticipation, and then we can bring glorification when it happens. Now, point two. Two and three is going to go a little bit quicker. How do we journal our prayers? Now, this is where the pastor's wonderful in his opening remarks there, because perfect. There are many ways to have a prayer journal. Many ways. There is the old, one preacher said, he's a baby boomer, but bless his heart. He said, I don't have a PC. I have a CP. He said, I don't have a personal computer. I have the common pencil, CP. So one of the ways to have a prayer journal is just that. Get a notebook. Get a composition book. Pen and paper. Amen? Now, the first prayer journal that I ever had was, I went to Dollar General, and I think it was when I was in Nakana. Pastor in Nakana. And I got a composition book. And I began writing in it, and, you know, for the next year or so, I wrote in it. And when I get that composition book now and look at it, something's amazing. Now, I see some of those answers to prayer. I see some of those scriptures the Lord laid up in my heart. I see some of the things I struggled with. But one thing I've noticed is that it's beginning to fade. It's beginning to fade. So keep that in mind. How do we journal our prayers? Pen and paper, notebook, a leather folio. Maybe you can get one of these nice leather. You know what I mean by leather folios, where it just smells good. I love leather folios. Oh my goodness. I love anything leather. It's just great. But you can do an app. How many of you got a smartphone? How many of you got a dumb phone? No, I'm just kidding. All right. All righty. You can download an app. A prayer journal. Go to Google Play. Go to the Apple Store. Search for a prayer journal. And you can have apps that will allow you to log dates and praises and times and different things. Software. The point is, it's not how you journal your prayers. And if you have that good memory, that some people are blessed. Bishop J. Floyd Williams had a photographic memory. One of my supervisors at Best Buy has a photographic memory. If he can look at a sheet of paper for about a few seconds, He's got it front, back. Now, some people bless it. It's a gift. I don't have that gift. And like I said before, it doesn't matter if it's pencil, if it doesn't matter if it's paper, it doesn't matter if it's an app, it doesn't matter if it's photographic memory, whatever works best for you. So I started out with pen and paper. I actually enjoyed it. I liked longhand writing it down. Then I filled that one up, and then I started on composition number two. And I got that one halfway full until I moved over I would actually take individual sheets of a little bitty paper. Have you ever seen these little doctor's notes, like a prescription pad? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I would use those little, I had these little pads. Brother Bird made them up. My mentor, my father in the Lord, it's from the desk of T.L. Bird. So I would put my prayer journal on those little pieces of paper. But let me tell you what would happen. Unlike the composition book, the little pieces of paper got missing. Go figure. If you want to lose something, a piece of document, a piece of paper, give it to me and let it be put on my desk. I would liken it to like a woman's pocketbook. It's just the unknown world on my desk. I'm just telling you, it's paper. Paper just, it just gets lost. And so I went, that was crazy for me to use individual papers, but I said I was filing them. And now I'm going back through my old files and I'm pulling them out. So, oh, praise God. And what I'm doing now is when I find them, I'm going back and putting them in my app. The bottom line is this. Turn around and tell somebody these words. Just do it. Just do it. Oh, and date it. Make sure when you journal your prayers, put a date. Put 6/11/13, 11/4/20. Put a date on it. And what? So let me close with this. So first of all, why we should have a prayer journal? Because of our friendship with God, because we easily forget, because it fuels our faith. How do we journal our prayers? Do common pencil, paper, app, notebook, whatever works best for you. And then what should we journal? What should we journal in our prayers? So I take out my phone. Where's my phone? It's over there. Don't touch it. Whatever you do. Leave it right there. And don't bring it to the pulpit. But I pull out my iPhone and I'll hit the OneNote app. Does anybody have Microsoft Office, a subscription to it? You have a subscription to Microsoft Office? Anybody else? If you have a subscription to Microsoft Office, you have what's called OneNote. And you can download the OneNote app to any device that you have, Android or iPhone. And that OneNote app, you know, on your iPhone or your smartphone, you have the call app where you press it to call somebody. And right beside it is the little text app where you can text somebody. Well, right next to that is my OneNote app, because that is the most important app that I have. Because I'll hit OneNote and I'll put the date down and I'll just keep it open. I will put the date down. I'll put the time down, like November 4th, 2020. 10:30 a.m. And I'll put a psalm down there, a psalm like Psalm 1, Psalm 3, Psalm 30, whatever psalm comes to my mind. I don't even know what the psalm is. I'll just put Psalm 30. And so I'll have Psalm 30 open. And so then I'll start praying. Now, I'm not going to get into how I pray. That's for another sermon. But as I'm praying, a couple of times I'll stop. And if something comes to my mind, like a scripture, I'll type that scripture down. Or if something comes to my mind like a person, I'll pray for that person or I'll write that person's name down. The point is my app is open, my mind is open, and I'm writing down things that come to my mind. Don't take that for granted. God is laid upon you, speaking to you. Then I'll read the psalm, and out of the psalm, something will leap to me, and I'll make sure I copy that for that day, like Psalm 23, verse 3 was for me today. And so I will do that. And so what do you write down? Write down in your prayer journal, write down names, write down answers to prayer, write down promises or scriptures, write down whatever. Just put it at whatever. And I'll be honest with you, there's some times when I'm praying that I don't write down anything in my prayer journal other than the date. I can go back to 3 years ago on November 4th, and if I prayed that day, I can show you what things the Lord spoke to me on that day. Isn't that a great thing to have? To go back to 2017, go back to 2018, you would be surprised at how it speaks to you in this day. Write down your praises in your prayer journal. Write down the blessings. You don't have to do it every day, and you don't have to be long at it. It could just be one statement. It could be a whole. Some of my prayer journal entries are very long that God has spoken to me. Maybe I see something on Facebook that's really speaks to my spirit. I'll copy and paste into my OneNote app. But what should we journal? The promises, the scriptures, names, answered prayers, our hopes, our dreams, the praises that we have to God. When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, and you could say write your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I'm going to promise you, you start a prayer journal 5 years from now, and you go back and look, you'll be saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. How many of you watched the movie The War Room? You remember that movie? The lady's older lady, the African-American lady, was showing the younger lady the house. And they came by a room, and in that room there were sticky notes, and in that room were little white boards with quotations on it. You know what? That was her war room. And it's amazing to me that she had stuff written all over those walls, promises claimed and scriptures. Folks, please hear me tonight. If you want your prayers to go to another level, write down, take your pen, ever how you do it, mentally, spiritually, physically, your app, take your pen and paper and listen to what the Lord is saying. Put it down, tuck it away, and you'll see that rod bud, and you'll see that manna fresh in His presence. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight? They found a Bible. When their mother passed away, they found a pastor. You can come on up if I'll get on the piano here. But they found a Bible when she passed away of mom, and it had been worn, and they were looking through it, and they kept seeing two letters, T-P. And they'd flip it through, and they'd see T-P. And it was really scattered throughout mama's Bible. And they were like, what in the world does T.P. stand for? There wasn't the initials of anybody's name. And then they found, I believe they figured out the code on the back of the Bible was these words written, tried and proven. And they went back and they looked at different scriptures. And they realized that what mama had written down for that scripture was, I've tried it, proven it, and given God the glory. Can we praise Him for that tonight?
Hallelujah.
Tell somebody, it's tried and proven. Amen.
Tried and proven. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Ricky, as I listened to your sermon there, when you got to point two, how do we do our prayer journal?
Yes.
I was writing down notes, and I realized I've had a prayer journal and didn't realize I had one.
Amen.
But what it is, I started out, the first thing, I got 52 little books that I used to carry on my person, composition books, and I was memorizing scripture. And I would write my thoughts down, and I still have those books in a special place. I don't use them anymore. I mean, a bunch of them, right, Teresa? They are all dated, too. I'm on, brother. You know we had a problem with this the other day. Can you hear me? Okay, y'all can hear me? Okay. They are all dated, and the thoughts that the Lord gave me. I took those memory verses, I put them on tape, And I listened to them so much when I would drive, just saying the scriptures over and over. I got tired of listening to myself. So I got Teresa to put them on tape. And I listened to Teresa as I would drive. Then I moved from that. You know, Habakkuk said, write the vision. I have it home in a manila folder that nobody knows where they are except me. They're visions,
and
prophecies that have been spoken over my life that God has given. They're dated when they were stated.
Amen.
And when what the Lord spoke to me. And I like that part, you know. It fuels our faith and it quenches our doubts.
Amen.
And the reason I have those and the reason I wrote them down is because there were times I needed to go back.
Yes.
Because things weren't going the way they were spoken. You know,
that's
sometimes
right.
God will roll death in on a promise. And you got to have faith for that. And so I would go back, and I do that at times now, and read those. Some of the things I never shared. And then the smartphone. I've got on my smartphone here some of the things that God told me.
Amen.
And I write them down. And then I thought about my computer. Mm-hmm. What I have done over the years is I have taken those thoughts, and I have on Word, I have 1,400 sermons.
Mm.
I have an Excel spreadsheet, and on that Excel spreadsheet, I have the year I preached that sermon, the text I used, and the title of that sermon. And I can take my Christmas messages, my July the 4th, any holiday. I've got 40-some, 53 on faith, and I got all of it on healings, the gifts of the Spirit. I've got it all categorized. I've got a whole lot more of a journal than I realized that I had. But it has changed over the years. So write what he's saying. Write down the things God gives you. But the most important thing is what he said about when Reverend Adams was speaking. He didn't text what was in the text that spoke to him. See, the Word of God is not bound.
That's right.
And so when he spoke that, read that, the Holy Ghost quickened that.
Yes.
When the Holy Ghost does that to you, that's the breath of the Spirit.
Glory.
And that's when you need to learn and write that down and say, God, you have spoken to me, and I'm going to hold on to this, or you gave me this years ago, and I don't have to go back and look at where it is. I know what God has said to me. And I go back and look at some of them to quench my doubts and feed my faith. But when God brings that promise to pass, just know this. Sometimes God will speak things to you. Just like right now, we're in a season we don't know. But sometimes it looks like death has rolled in on a promise. And then all of a sudden, God resurrects it and God gets the glory. Now, did you enjoy that tonight? I tell you, I took some good notes. Thank you for that. I realize I've done more than I thought I had done, Pastor Ricky. Brother Joey, would you come down, please, and give us an update on your dad? We had prayer, brother. We opened with prayer tonight.
Yes.
And I did call your dad today, and I asked him to put me on a speakerphone. I want him to hear my voice and to know that his church was praying for him. So would you give us an update?
Okay, I'm going to try to get through this. The doctors have given us a bleak outlook. I mean, they said that it's really bad. But the next few days, they'll know. I think they're going to do an MRI tomorrow, but they're not really expecting a whole lot. And we had to make some decisions today ourselves on what we're going to do, but we're not going to let him suffer. But I read something today, and I know it was the Lord telling me. He said, why are you worrying? I'm in control. He's on the throne. He is. And whether he restores my father to his full health or whether he goes on and takes him, he's in God's hands no matter what. So just keep praying for him. And pray for Mom, because it's tough on her and our family. But I told her tonight, I said, even if we lose him, I said, you're not alone. We're all in this together. She said, I will be alone. So it's tough on her. But, it's he was a stubborn man. He had a minor stroke yesterday morning. Mama told him, and he said, no, I haven't. But anyhow, and she told him, she said, well, I know what a stroke looks like because my mama had one. He said, I ain't your mama. And he went and got in the car and went to Walmart, got her medicine, come home. And he was actually out going to go hunting. He was putting deer corn in his bucket when he fell out. But he's already killed two deer this year. Phil reminded me of that. So, and he's 91 years old. We've had him a long time. I've had him all my life. But we sat there. We got together tonight to make our decisions and all. And we cried. And then we started. And I told him, I said, you know, something's come to me. You know, I'm not going to dwell on the past. You know, I'm going to cherish him. But I'm going to enjoy what we've got with him if he's still with him. If not, I know I'm going to see him again. He's ready to go. So, you know, we got that blessed hope. I know a lot of folks who've lost loved ones, and they've lived like the devil, and they make comments, well, you know, they're going to heaven. And I'm like, you just don't know. You don't know what you're saying. I mean, but I know my father has lived it before me, and he has woken something up in me, too. And I got a hunger to really see the Lord and just try to, because I know, you know, I sat back there and I realized that when I sat down, that's where my daddy sat Sunday. And I was teasing Joanne. She was sitting where daddy was, and I spoke to her and said, what are you doing in my daddy's seat? But, you know, and when I sat down there tonight, I realized that's where he was sitting at. And I said, you know, that's what I want to do. That's why I come out here. I wanted to be in church. And I told Elizabeth, I said, this is where my daddy would want me to be. But just keep them in your prayers because I know he'd like that. And I had asked the pastor to call up there because they let my sister call up there. And mom and my sister talked to, they held the phone out there and let him talk. So I said, I know it will mean a lot to daddy to hear you pray for him. But just pray for him, pray for the family and all. But I know God's got it all in control.
Well, Brother Bud's the patriarch of the family. But his one generation, as Elizabeth, first generation, Brother Bud, second generation, Elizabeth, third generation, Eli, the fourth generation. I want all of y'all to come up here, and if you would stand right here. And Brother Joey, he has injured his shoulder. Which shoulder is that, brother? His right shoulder. So while we're praying for him and his dad and his situation and the whole family, I want us to pray for the healing of this shoulder. My shoulder was out. I'd want somebody praying for me, wouldn't you? All right. So anybody that wants to come, I'm going to anoint all of these with the oil in the name of Jesus. And we just believe, God, that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And Father, you gave us the privilege to come to the throne of grace. And you said that we could let our requests be known unto God. And you said in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and keep your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord of this situation. We praise you, Lord, for the excellent help that Brother Bud walked in. And Lord, how he was able to fish and hunt. And Lord, is able to do the things he loved and work on the little lawnmowers and had a keen mind and loved to come to church and take care of all the family. Lord, what a treasure you have given to the Tedder family. So God, we just thank you, Lord, that we pray for healing. Of course we pray, Lord. We pray for restoration because you gave us, you said, our word to Westmoreland is restoration. And God, we praise you. It matters not how old someone is, Lord. You're the God of all flesh. You're able to do anything. And you said we could pray and ask. And so, Father, we ask for the healing. It's the children's bread. But, Lord, we know that Brother Bud Tedder, that he is safe in your arms, that you're in control. And we have no fear about any of this, Lord. And we just pray for the comfort of Sister Joan. Lord, she looks to him. The whole family looks to him, Father. So we just thank you for a miracle. Lord, and we rest that in your hands. And Lord, we just thank you for Brother Joey's shoulder, Lord. They've already prayed for him over there. We release our faith, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ, and that hold the shoulder and the whole family be made whole. And you said, let the peace of God reign and rule in your hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We love you, brother. Appreciate you and your whole family. Amen.